Yaraysa.
Today's Amud is Yuma Samach Vav Amabez. We're holding on the bottom line on Samach Vav Amad Aleph. So says the Gemara, Masru Lamisha Malichai. We said that the Kain Gadol would hand over the Sayur HaMishtaleach to the person who would then take it to the cliff, to the Midbar. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, we learned that when the Torah describes the Shliach who would take the Sayur, so it describes him as an Ish Iti. So the Gemara darshins this path, the Raisa darshins this pasuk of Ish Iti, that Ish is l'hachshir as azar. Ish teaches us that even a zar, even someone who's not a kayin, can be the one to take the sayer to the midbar, because it doesn't say a kayin. You see, it doesn't have to be a kayin, it's even just an Ish. So Ish teaches us that it could even be a zar, even someone who's not a kayin could be the shliach to take the sayer to the midbar. Iti, which means like in its time, a designated time, so that teaches us sheyehei mezuman, that the shliach himself has to be prepared, he has to be designated from before Yom Kippur, and he has to be told that you're the appointed one. Also from Iti, we learn that it's in its time, that afilu b'Shabbos, even if it's Shabbos, the process of the Sayur Mishtaleach is Deicha Shabbos. We'll see exactly what that means in Hamshach. Iti v'afilu b'Toma, and also it's Deicha Toma, the process of the taking the Sayur Mishtaleach to the Midbar, is Deicha Toma. The Chaskuni adds from some sort of Medrash, which we don't know where it is exactly, he adds that Iti also means that the person himself is it's his designated time. That they would find someone, somehow they knew a person that was going to die that year. And they would always choose the Shliach to be the one to take the Sayur to the Midbar, was a person who was destined to die during that year. It's interesting though, because we learned in the Mishnah that they were like Makbit, the Dafka, have a Kayin do it. So it's interesting, like they would be Mechabit the person, but really the person who took the Sayur was going to die that year. So it's just interesting process. Also, we all know exactly what the Makar for this Chaskuni is, but that's what the Chaskuni says, that Iti means it's also the person himself, it's the Shliach himself, it's his designated time, it's his set time to die that year. Al-Kapanim says to Gemara now. The Gemara now is going to explain the different drashas that we just said. So now we said Ish lahachshir as azar. We said that from Ish, we learned that even a zar is kasher to be the shliach to take the sayer to the midbar. So in fact, the Gemara pshita. Well, chayr, it's obvious. Why should we think that a zar is not kasher? It's not like it's navaida that should require a kayin. So it says the Gemara, because ma'u detema kaparik sivbe. Since the Torah says kapara, and then generally it's the kayin that achieves the kapara, so I would have thought that you need dafka kayin, kamash malan, then no, you don't need a kayin. Ish is coming to teach us that even a zar is kasher. Iti, v'afilu b'Shabbos. We said that from Iti we learn that the process of the Sayur HaMishtaleach is Deicha Shabbos. L'may Hechasa. Where is it Negei Chil Shabbos when you're taking the Sayur to the Midbar? What's the Chil Shabbos that you have to have a drasha that it's Deicha Shabbos? Why should there be Chil Shabbos involved? Rav Sheshes, Loimar, to teach us, Shem Hayachayla, that if the Sayur is sick, so Markivay al Kaseifay, that you're able to hold it on your shoulders, you could carry it, and you could be over on Haitza. Well, if you hold that the Azara is considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid, so that means you're being Ivran Haitzah. The Ish Iti took the Sayur from the Azara outside, so he was taking it from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim if it's sick. If the animal's sick and he has to pick it up, so it's going to come out that he's Ivran Haitzah, or even if the Azara is considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but still, it's still Havar styled Amis for Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He's carrying it for Amis in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Rishonim talk about exactly which one it is, but either way, so there's some sort of, there could be Chil Shabbos involved if the Sayur is sick. So because of a case where the Sayur is sick, there could be Chil Shabbos, we have a drasha that Iti, that now it's Deicha Shabbos, and the Iti, the Ish Iti is allowed to carry it, even though he's going to be Michal Shabbos, it's Deicha Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Kimandalei Krabi Nasan. This that we have a pasuk to be matter carrying the Sayur on Shabbos is not like Rab Nasan. Because according to Rab Nasan, that's not considered Chil Shabbos. Di Rab Nasan, Ha'amar Chai Noises Atzmai. Rab Nasan holds that a living animal, a living person carries himself. And at least, therefore, you're not carrying the animal by yourself. The animal itself is carrying itself. So you're not doing the whole malacha, so you're not chai for such a thing. So according to Rab Nasan, you wouldn't have to have a drasha in the Torah to be matter carrying a live animal, because a live animal carries itself. That's not considered Chil Shabbos. Says the Gemara, No, Afilu Tamer Rabbi Nasan. They could even be like Rab Nasan, and we could still have such a drasha, because chalashani, if the animal's sick, it's different, because being that it's sick, so it can't really carry itself, it can't walk on its own, so therefore, when you carry it, we don't apply the principle of chay na'isi etzatzmai when the animal is sick. So therefore, we need a drasha to say that there is chal shabbos involved, but it's still mutter, iti afilu b'shabbos. Amar Raphram. Raphram says that Zaysay Meris, you see from this drasha, that we have a drasha that even in a year where Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, iti afilu b'Shabbos, at Zaycha Shabbos, you see that Erev Ha'itzol is Shabbos, v'ein Erev Ha'itzol li'yom HaKippurim. You see that the halachos of Erev Chatzeros and the halachos of Ha'itzol, that those apply to Shabbos, but they do not apply to Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, there's no Isser of Ha'itzol. Rashi explains, because if there would be an Isser of Ha'itzol on Yom Kippur, so then this is something which applies every year. You wouldn't have to have a, you wouldn't say a drasha, iti, that even if it's Shabbos, iti is even if it's not Shabbos, even if it's a Tuesday, but if it's Yom Kippur and it's six, how are you allowed to carry it? Oh, iti to teach us, we would need iti to teach us that even on a Tuesday you're allowed to carry it. Elamai, you see from the drasha that no, it's even on Shabbos, because it's only on Shabbos that you would have an Isser of Haitzah. On Yom Kippur you don't have an Isser of Haitzah. Says the Gemara Vayter to explain the last drasha, that iti vafilu betoma, we said that iti means that it's even daicha toma, lamai helchasa, where's the negeya toma, where's there a problem of toma when it comes to this process of taking the sayer to the midbar? Rav Sheish has loimer to say, shem nitma mishalchoi, that if the ish iti, if the messenger, if he, the shliach, if he becomes tame, still nichnas tame la azaru mishalchoi, he could still go into the azara to receive the sayer from the kohen gadol. Right, the kohen gadol had to give over the sayer to the shliach. So even if he became tame, even if the shliach became tame, he's allowed to go into the azaru mishalchani, and he's allowed to go in to get it and to bring it to the midbar. It's daicha the tuma of going into the base of mikdash when he's tame. Even if the shliach becomes tame, he's allowed to go in. Meaning, because it would be preferable, that would be preferable than taking getting a replacement. Because really, we said that he's supposed to be appointed. He's supposed to be appointed and designated before Yom Kippur. So the other option would be to have someone who wasn't appointed to take over instead. We'd rather not do that. We'd rather, we have a drasha to say that no, rather have the person who was appointed and be daicha the tuma. Says the Gemara Vayter. Shalu as Rebbe Eliezer. They asked Rebbe Eliezer the following shailu. They said, Cholo mahu shiarkiveu, al kseifai. They asked him this halacha that we just discussed. If the animal, if the sayer becomes, gets sick, so what's the halacha? Could the shliach carry it on his shoulders? So Amar Lahem, so Rebbe Eliezer responded, and he sort of avoided the shailu, and he said, Yachu laharchiv anivatem. The sayer is very strong. He could carry me and you. Really avoiding the shailu. Cholo mishalchai mahu. What's the halacha if the shliach gets sick? Should we appoint someone else, a new person, to be the shliach in his place? So Amar Lahem, he said to them, "Hey, b'shalom ani v'atem. We're both fine, we're both good, nothing to worry about." Meaning, again, avoiding the shaila, not really discussing the shaila. Dach vayvulei meis, if let's say they push, he pushes the sa'ir down the cliff, and it doesn't die. So mahu shiyered achra v'misenu. What's the lacha? Does he go down and kill it? So Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Eliezer responded, Kein yoivdu kol eivecha Hashem. That all of our enemies should get destroyed. Again, avoiding the shaila. So we'll see soon exactly why he avoided the shailas. Says the Gemara though that you should know. The chachamim say the halach in all these cases that chala, if the animal itself, if the sahir gets sick, so markiva yal kseifais, then he's allowed to carry it. Like we said before, iti vafilu b'shabbes, they're allowed to carry it on your shoulders. Chala mishalcha, if the shliach becomes sick, so then yishalchenu b'yad acher. So then you have no choice. You're stuck. The shliach became sick. He's not able to do the task. So then you have to appoint someone else. Meaning the fact that he has to be designated is not ma'akev. If there's nothing else to do about it, he's sick, he can't go. So then you have someone else do it. Meaning even though we said before that it's daicha tuma, the shliach, because l'maisa, we'd rather have the person himself who is designated do it, even though it's not ma'akev. L'maisa, if he can't, if he's sick, so then it's you are allowed to have someone else be the shliach, even though he wasn't designated from before Yom Kippur. And regarding the third shiloh, if he pushes it down and the sayer doesn't die, so then the halacha is yered acher v'misenus. Then he does, he goes after it and he kills it, which is really a tremendous chiddush. What's the heter to go kill it? He was mekayim the mitzvah l'chayr already. He pushed it down the cliff. So now it's netilas neshama to go ahead and just kill the sayer. Why is he allowed to kill the sayer? So it's on the Sefer Chashuk Echemen over here. He brings some the Yavitz. The Yavitz says like a funny teretz. He says that what's going to be if the Sayer stays alive, so then and it starts walking around, and people in Klal Yisrael start seeing the Sayer walking around. They recognize, this is the Sayer that got pushed down the cliff, and look, he's still alive. So it's going to be a tremendous sakana. They're going to have tremendous chlishas hadas when they see the Sayer Hamishtaleach walking around. So now the halacha is, he says, Habalahargcha Hashkim Lahargoy. He's coming, it's going to be dangerous. The person's going to see someone, a Yid, kid might see the sire. Chas v'shalom, he might get a heart attack or something. He's going to see the sire walking around. So the sire is posing a danger to Klal Yisrael. So haba l'harkecha hashkem l'hargoy. So go ahead, quickly go ahead and kill the sire. That's what the Ayavit says, that it's kilu ikasakana. People take these things very seriously. So if he sees the sire walking around, even though Be'etzem, there's no Indian to kill it, it's allowed to stay alive. You pushed it down the cliff, you're done. But because people see it walking around, and they get nervous from these types of things, so therefore there's a heter to be Mechal Yom Kippur, to be Ayavit and Itzias Neshama, to kill the sire. Based on this, he writes in the case, interesting case, a shaila that came up, a person did kaparis, and so he waved the chicken over around his head, and then he had to take it out to get shechted. And when he was taking it to the sheikhit to shecht it, so it fell out, the chicken fell out of his hands, and it got mixed up with all the other chickens that were in the pen. So now he has his chicken that he already did kaparis with already, so the chicken, kilu, I guess, has all of his averis already, that's the way he looked at it, and it's mixed up with all the other chickens. So now someone else is not going to want to take the chickens anymore, because he doesn't want to use a chicken that already has someone else's averis on it. So he's not going to want to use it anymore. So says there's Zilberstein, that L'chaira, really, it's bottle. There's a lot of chickens there. So Midaraisa, at least it's bottle. Even though Midrabanan, so Bali Chayim are not bottle, they're considered Chashav, they're not bottle. But Midaraisa, even an animal is bottle bereiv. So L'chaira, it's bottle. But he says that you see from this Gemara, from the Ayavits, that people get nervous about these things. So even if it's true that really technically Midaraisa, it's bottle, and therefore L'chaira, it should work for Kaparis, but L'maisa, people get nervous, and no one's going to want to buy chickens from this person anymore. No one's going to want to buy the chickens from him to do Kaparis. They're going to want to go somewhere else. And so people, L'maisa, get nervous from these things, like we see from the Ayavits. So therefore he was Mesupik that maybe Taka, the person, is going to be chayv to pay. Maybe it's a grandma, maybe to pay to be Yitzibi De Shemayim, but to pay the owner of the chickens, that because now people aren't going to want to buy his chickens anymore. But Lamaisa, he says he brought the Shaila to Rav Liashiv, and Rav Liashiv told him, he brought Raya, that Lamaisa, the Kapara, by Kapara, is Tali in the Shechita. It's the Shechita that finalizes the Kapara. So the chicken, it doesn't have his Kapara on it. It's not a chicken that already had Kaparas done to it. It's only considered a chicken that had Kaparas done to it already once the Sheikhet Shechts it. So therefore, there was no issue. But Kabbalah, that's the Ayavits, that's what he says on our Gemara, that the reason why there's a heter to go kill it is because of the sakana that it could cause when someone else sees the sire walking around. So on a different sefer, Tshuva Sagrach, he brings a letter from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He said that no, the Shaila was, and then what the Chachamim are saying is that it's included in the mitzvah. That you're not, you haven't finished the mitzvah when you just pushed it down the cliff. You see from the halacha that the Chachamim are saying is that you're not finished the mitzvah until the sawyer dies. It's a chelik, it's a part of the mitzvah. So therefore, go down and kill it. Much more simple, Teretz. Al-Kabbalim says the Gemara Vayter. So now we mentioned different shailas that they asked Rabbi Eliezer, and that Rabbi Eliezer sort of avoided. So now the Gemara is going to continue on this theme. So says the Gemara, Shaulu as Rabbi Eliezer, they asked Rabbi Eliezer a shailah, Plaini mahu lo'ilam haba. What's the halacha? Is Plaini abar lo'ilam haba. So Amar Lei, Lei Shaltuni ala Plaini. You should ask me about a different person. Mahu lahatzel raya kivsa. So they asked him, Minhari. So they asked him, what's the halacha? Can a shepherd save the sheep from the lion? He's taking away the lion's food. Is he allowed to save the sheep from the lion? Samar lahem lo shaltuni ala la kivsa. You're only asking about the kivsa, meaning why aren't you asking me about saving the shepherd? So they said, okay, well, mahu lahatzel raya minhari. Are you allowed to save a shepherd from the lion? Samar lahem, he said to them, lo shaltuni ala la raya. You're only asking me about the shepherd. You should ask me about the sheep. Again, just avoiding the Shiloh, whatever the Shiloh over here was. Seems like something deeper, obviously, that meets the surface. But says the Gemara Vayter, Mamzer Mahu Lirash. They asked him, what's the halacha? Does a mamzer get Yerusha? Is a mamzer considered a ben that he gets Yerusha? So he said back to them, Mahu Liabim. Why don't you ask me? What's the halacha? Is he chayv in Yibum? Is he considered a brother? So then they asked him, Mahu Lasoid, are you allowed to plaster your house? Mahu Lasoid is Beisa, you're allowed to plaster your house, meaning Al Zechel Chorban, maybe you can't plaster your house. So he said back to them, Mahu Lasoid is Kivra, are you allowed to plaster a Kever? Again, really just avoiding all the shailas. And explains the Gemara that you should know that Laimim Nesha Fligat Bidvarim, the fact that he just like pushed them all off is not because he was just avoiding the shailas because he didn't know the halachas. Alimim Nesha Shalai Amar Davar Shalai Shamim Pirabim Yailam. That Rabbi Eliezer had a practice that he never said things, at least while his Rebbe was alive, this Flas MS says, but Rabbi Eliezer had a practice that he never said things, he never said things that he didn't hear from his Rebbe, unless he heard directly about this halacha from his Rebbe, so he wouldn't say it, at least while his Rebbe was alive. And therefore, he ignored all these shailos because he didn't hear it from his Rebbe, so he didn't want to say it. Says the Gemara Beiter, Shaula Isha Chachmas Rabbi Eliezer. A wise lady once asked Rabbi Eliezer, Ma'acher Shemaisa Egel Shavin, now that everyone did the Egel, everyone was L'chayra all equal, so Ma'ein Misasun Shavin, why is it that we find in the Torah that there were like three different Misas, as we'll see soon what they were, but there were three different Misas listed in the Torah for the people that were the Egel Azov? What's the prat? So Amar Law, Rabbi Eliezer said to her, "In chachma liyisha ela bepelach," meaning stick to the spindle, keep weaving. I'm not going to teach Torah to a woman. Like we'll see when we get to Misach Saita. V'chenu aimer v'chol isha chachma slave biyada tavu. That's what a isha chachma slave does. Is she weaves? Itmar says the Gemara that Rav Levi explains. Now what's taka the pshat that there were different misas by the ego? So they explain. So Chad Amar, one of them said either Rav or Levi. We all know which one, but one of them explained that zibach v'kiter, that if a person who mamish served the egel, he did a shchita, he did a ktara, he mamish did a whole avayda, so then besayif, his misa was besayif, he got it with a sword. Gipeif and nishek, if he hugged it and he kissed it, so then b'misa, then he got misa b'dei shemayim, there was a plague. Samach b'lvavoy, if he was mamish happy, he was happy about the egel, so then b'hidroikon, so then he got a misa v'hidroikon, he drank the ashes with the water, and he died a misa of hidroikon. V'chan amar eden v'hasra b'sayif. The other one said that no, this is the three-way split. It said if he did it and there was eden and hasra, so then he was killed b'sayif. Eden v'loy hasra, so then he was killed b'misa. V'loy eden v'loy hasra, if there was no eden and there was no hasra, so then b'hidroikon, so then he got the misa of hidroikon. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shiftei Shal Levi Lo Avad Avodas Kechavim. That you should know, Shevet Levi wasn't involved in the Chad Egel. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, and the Gemara over here only brings really part of the pasuk, but the whole pasuk is that V'yamid Moshe B'shar Hamachne V'yomer Mila Hashem Elai. He said, "Who's for Hashem?" V'yasvu Elav Kol Bnei Levi. And only Levi showed up. Only Levi wasn't involved in the Egel. Says the Gemara, Yasev Ravina v'kamar la l'hashmeitza. He was saying over this shmeitza that Bnei Levi weren't part of the Chad Egel. And Eisve Bnei Rapapa Bar Abba l'Ravina. So the children of Rapapa Bar Abba, they asked Ravina. They said, "How could you say that Bnei Levi wasn't part of the Chad?" But the pasuk says, "Ha'imer la'aviv u'li'imer le'iri isiv." The pasuk continues, "Ves achiv la'hikir ves banav la'yada kishamurim rascha v'rischa yinitzayru." It says that Levi killed their family members for being part of the Egel. It said that they killed their father, their brothers, their children. So you see that even Levi was involved in the Egel. Says the Gemara, no. Aviv, when it says that they killed a person killed his father, it doesn't mean his father mamish. His father was a Levi, wasn't part of the Chet. It means Avi Ima. It's referring to his grandfather, his mother's father. His mother's father, Mi Yisrael, who was the Yisrael. His mother was not a Bas Levi, so his mother's father is a Yisrael. Or Echav, when it says he killed his brother, it means Echav Mi Ima, Mi Yisrael. It means his brother from his mother, who's the Yisrael, his half-brother. And his mother's not a Bas Levi. Bnei Beisai refers, and Banav refers to Bnei Bitai Miyisrael. It refers to his grandchildren from his daughter. His daughter is a Bas Levi, but she married a Yisrael. So the daughter married a Yisrael, so the child's a Yisrael. So it refers to, when he says his children, it means his grandchildren through a daughter who's not a Levi, but really Levi was not part of the Chet HaEgel. Says the Gemara, we mentioned in the Mishnah that Bekevesh Asulai, that they made a ramp to take the Ish Iti, would take the Sayer out of the Azara, he would go up a ramp so that the Babylonians wouldn't pull his hair. So says the Gemara, I'm a Rabbi Barbar Chana, Loi Bav Loyim Hayu. You should know that these people that originally would pull the hair of the Ish Iti, so they weren't actually Babylonians. El Achsandrim Hayu. They were really from Alexandria. They were from Egypt. However, Mitoich Shesayinim Es HaBav Loyim, however, because the people at the time, the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, they had a sinah towards the Bavliim because they weren't Ayla with the rest of them to Yerushalayim for the second base of Mikdash. They stayed in Chutz La'aretz. So because they had this sinah to the Babylonians, like we had earlier in Maseches Yuma, so therefore, so therefore they called these people that were annoying the Ishiti, they would call them Babylonians because they just hated Babylonians. So anyone that bothered them, they would just call them a Babylonian. Tani, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Loi Bavliim Hayu, Alexandrim Hayu, like we just said, that they weren't actually Babylonians, they were really from Alexandria. That's Rabbi Yehuda said. So on that, Amar le Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said to Rabbi Yehuda, after Rabbi Yehuda said this halacha, said this idea, so Rabbi Yossi said to him, Tanuach daitcha sheinachtes daiti, that thank you so much, you really mamish, you made me feel better. I used to always think that it was really Babylonians that did this, and Rabbi Yossi's family came from Babel, they were Babylonians, so he felt like, really, my ancestors, this is what they did. They were so not nice, they were pulling the Yishiti's hair. So he felt bad, so now he felt much better than when he found out that it wasn't actually Bavliam that did this. It was really Alexandrium. Talvitzeh, we said that they used to pull his hair and say, you know, quickly go. So Tana, we learned that what were they doing? That Mas Shahi Tzifredein, they were Kilu saying that why is the Sayer taking so long? It's going so slow. V'chayve Daris Agiyin, when the sins of Klal Yisrael are so great. So meaning that they were coming to say to hurry up. That's what they were doing. That's why they were pulling the hair and they were saying, Talvitzeh, Kilu saying to hurry up.